Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Courtney Morris. She's an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. Hi, Courtney. 16 people have died and 12 are still missing in Utah after flash floods swept through parts of the state following torrential rain. Many among the dead are children. Philip Barlow, the mayor of Hilldale, Utah, where the floods hit hardest, called it a 100-year flood. Many of the victims were among those who went out to watch the downpour, a popular activity in the area when they were caught by the unexpected deluge. Meanwhile, in Northern California, after several days of raging fires that have claimed nearly 600 homes, firefighters are reporting some progress. The so-called Valley Fire impacted communities west of Sacramento, and at least one person has died, and several firefighters are being treated for second-degree burns. When the fires broke out, it spread with what experts are calling mind-boggling speed, burning through 40,000 acres in less than 12 hours. California's fourth year of drought, coupled with last week's triple-digit temperatures, created the perfect conditions for the fire. Well, Courtney, it's no accident that such natural disasters are occurring with seemingly more frequency, right?
No, it's definitely not a coincidence. I mean, we've talked about this before on the program, but there's much of the evidence on climate change and the impacts of climate change seem to suggest that we are going to continue to see an increase in more kind of extreme weather patterns around the globe because of our kind of collective refusal to really take seriously the crisis of climate change and to develop more meaningful policies to address the situation. And certainly in the case of California in particular, really revising the way that the state deals with its water crisis, really revising the way that the state is dealing with deforestation. There are a number of issues that are creating conditions that are just perfect for these kinds of disasters to occur. And it's distressing, but we're going to continue to see more of this in the future, unfortunately.
A 14-year-old Muslim boy was arrested this week in Irving, Texas. His crime? Making a homemade clock that a teacher and several police officers decided was an attempt at making a bomb. Ahmed Mohammed was told by his teacher that his clock, quote, looked like a bomb, and later that day he was taken out of class, handcuffed, fingerprinted, and booked. The boy is known for his science prowess. His father, who emigrated from Sudan, told press he just wants to invent good things for mankind, but because his name is Mohammed, and because of September 11th, I think my son got mistreated. The Council on American Islamic Relations is investigating the incident. Well, Courtney, clearly this kid is smarter than his teachers and the cops combined. But of course, how likely is it that, you know, a white kid named Joe Smith would have been arrested for doing the same thing? And doesn't such sort of humiliation traumatize a kid?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think it's pretty obvious to everyone, well, you know, watching this case develop, that a white kid named Joe Smith wouldn't have been arrested for this. He would have been rewarded for this and you know, held up as the genius that he is. And unfortunately, that's not been the case for Ahmed Mohammed. And I think that we're seeing here, and he's learning at a very young age that, it's a mistake, it's a crime to be bright and brown. And it's just really unfortunate for him. But I think what's been encouraging in all of this is just seeing how this young man has handled the situation with so much dignity and has just really eloquently defended himself in the face of this kind of, anti-Arab, anti-Muslim racism that he has encountered.
11 people from the Republican Party vying for the presidential nomination will take to the stage tonight. The latest GOP debate is sure to be as entertaining and controversial as the earlier ones. The Washington Post points out that establishment candidates Jeb Bush and Scott Walker are entering the debate, having fallen several percentage points in popularity. Meanwhile, the outsiders, who've never held political office, such as Donald Trump, Ben Carson, and Carly Fiorina, are rising. As a measure of money raised, Jeb Bush leads the pack. A poll by The Post and ABC earlier this week found that 60% of Republicans prefer an outsider to win the nomination. Well, Courtney, I'm not sure if I want to watch tonight or not. How important is it for progressives to pay attention to these debates?
It's always important to pay attention. I mean, I think that it's a mistake to underestimate or to dismiss the right because, you know, they're going at it and they're in it to win it. And we can see this with the kind of tenacity that people like Donald Trump and Ben Carson are really going after the nomination without any experience. But, you know, they're tapping into a part of the Republican base that really wants to hear the things that they have to say and feels that they are speaking to their interest in a way that more establishment candidates like Jeb Bush or even Ted Cruz really just are not able to do. So, you know, it feels like a circus watching these things, but I think that not paying attention to them, we do that to our own detriment. We have to take them seriously because they're not, it's not a game for them.
Well, Courtney Morris, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Bye, Sonali.
Courtney Morris is an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.